We have any fruit lovers here?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was a child in the summers of summers in Pennsylvania, me and my friends, we would go up in the woods. And we would go into areas that used to be old farmland. And we would actually forage for berries and for fruit. There really wasn't much that we couldn't find in our hikes. We found wild strawberries. We found raspberries. We found blackberries, blueberries, cherries, apples, plums, and peaches. For some of the fruit trees were old, probably planted by farmers years before. To us boys who were very poor, it was like finding treasure. Anybody could go foraging in the woods and find treasures like berries and old crab apples or cooking apples, we would call it. It was like finding treasures because the fruit and berries that we didn't eat, what do you think we did with them? We sold them. We sold them. I think we were selling strawberries for 25 cents a quart back then. It was a long time ago, as you can tell. But we would sell them to our neighbors who would make pies out of them and shortcake. And, you know, there's nothing better than some of the sour cherries that we picked and making pies out of the sour cherries or pies out of the berries. It was really a highlight of our summers because there's something special about free food. Who here doesn't like free food? Doesn't? Okay. Who here loves free food? All right. And so that's what we found in the woods. And there's many times that, you know, we supplemented what we didn't have in the refrigerator with the berries and apples and plums and grapes that we found in the woods. There's something about a fruit, no matter what it is. It has a sweet aroma, a sweet taste that you get drawn by. I imagine if I shine this apple up and just passed around, I imagine somebody would want a bite out of that, wouldn't they? Not Nancy, but some of us would. And it draws you to pick different fruits. Wow, what a peach, huh? A plum. It draws you in. That sweet aroma, that sweet taste. And no matter whether there's thorns and whether there's snakes or bears, it draws you in to go ahead and pick that berry because that taste of its sweetness and that sweet aroma. There were times that we found trees that were too old, that didn't bear fruit, or the fruit that they did bear were very pitted. And we weren't drawn to those trees anymore. They were either pitted or they bore fruit that was just did not taste good. They were either too sour or just too rotten. Anybody bite into a really sour old apple? Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. How does this relate to the sermon today? Well, as Christians, we were made and we were created to bear fruit. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're encouraged to bear good fruit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit that's in the New Testament in Galatians are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things that seem to draw other people to us because they're good. They have that sweet aroma, that sweet taste that most of the world does not see. So today we're going to talk about this topic with a sermon called Bearing Fruit with Him, or What Would the World Pick from Your Limbs? How do you like that? What would the world pick from your limbs? We're going to go to two passages. First of all, let's lift up our Bibles. Don't want to embarrass anybody. If you don't have a Bible, grab one and lift it up. What is this Bible? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's what it is. Okay. Okay, let's turn to, let's start with Matthew chapter 3, 8 through 10. And then we'll turn to Matthew 21, 18 through 19. Before we do that, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you know what? I'm excited to study God's Word. Why don't you turn? I'm excited to study God's Word. This time let's do it with excitement. I am excited to study God's Word. Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Verses 8 through 10. Matthew chapter 3, 8 through 10. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the roots of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Now let's go to Matthew 21, verses 18, 19. That's, what page is that? 498, I think. I mean, 698 in your Pew Bible. So let's read this. Matthew 21, 18 and 19. Early in the morning, as he was on his way to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately, the tree withered. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We come to you asking many questions. We come to you trying to ask for the purpose of life. We come to you, Lord, with petitions, and we come to you with also adoration. Lord, we ask that you will open our hearts and open our ears to receive your word, that your word becomes a part of us so that everywhere we go, we can recall it to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us do the things that are right before your eyes. Lord, as your messenger, help me to be open to what you have to say to this congregation. Help me, Lord, to be humbled by this opportunity to preach to your people. Help us, Lord, to receive your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, like I said before, a lot of the Old Testament and the New Testament, especially the beginning with Genesis and throughout the Gospels, Christ and God continually tells us that our purpose in life is to bear fruit. We keep on asking ourselves, what does that mean? Well, I can only explain it by comparing what fruit does for me. Fruit for me is healthy. Fruit for me tastes good. Fruit for me is alluring. It looks good. And fruit for me draws me in. And that's what God wants for all of us. Let me review with you some lessons that I gleaned from the scriptures about bearing fruit. Let's start with number one. Bearing fruit requires a relationship, not religion. Matthew 3, 8 through 9 says this, therefore bring forth fruit with repentance and do not suppose that you can stay to yourself. Say to yourself, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Now bearing fruit is more than being a part of a religious organization. Religion cannot necessarily change you into a fruit bearer. being Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, or even, and even non-denominational, in itself cannot change you. That's not what changes us. What is being said here is that the Pharisees at that time thought just because they were from the descendants of Abraham, they thought that was good enough. They thought that there was no purpose except to know that they had a birthright. They had a birthright into the kingdom. And what is being said here is, guess what? I can make children from Abraham out of stones. It's your personal walk and your relationship. And it's a heart change which produces something in us that others can sense and want to be a part of this or a part of God. How many here have had people influence you because they were godly people? Look at that. Turn around. Look around. Keep hands up. Okay. They had true relationship with God. It wasn't religion. It wasn't because they were Presbyterian, Catholic, Lutheran, non-denominational. It was because they knew the Almighty God. And from that, it produced a change in the individual. For example, it's not our belonging to Grace Christian Fellowship which makes us one of the churches in Calumet. It's not that. It's not that. It's not Grace Christian Fellowship that does it. It is Christ working through us, being open to His leading, being humble before Him, repenting of our sins. And you know, we can't, if we do that, if we follow Jesus, we have a relationship with Jesus, we can't be anything else but fruit bearers. We can't be anything else than one of the friendliest churches in all of Calumet. But we have to be connected to Him. There has to be connectivity. I think it's John 15 that talks about the vine and the branches. He's the vine, we're the branches. We're vitally connected to Him. All of our nutrients come from what? From Him, from the vine. And it's that vital connection. That vital connection that a tree has to the earth, to get nutrients, that vital connection that causes fruit bearing, doesn't it? It causes fruit bearing. We draw nutrients from Him, and we can produce good fruit. Let me tell you a story S.D. Gordon tells of a spring storm that broke a large limb on his cherry tree. Although it hung by a very slender strand, to his surprise, the blossoms came anyway. Later, some fruit began to grow as it did on the other branches. He noticed, however, that only those in full contact with the tree bore much fruit, while the partially severed branch produced only a scanty supply. As believers, we must be careful about our spiritual connections, making sure we are fully abiding in Christ. The fruit we bear, whether much or little, tells the story. Tells the story. That's where we draw it. It's not a religion. You don't go to church for a religion. You go to church to learn how to bear fruit. We all do. Do you want to bear fruit? Okay. So what do? Put your arms up like that. Okay. We're branches. So we bear fruit by a vertical, by going to God, drawing from Him so that we can touch others. That's how we bear fruit. Get it? Does it make sense? Cool. Okay, number two. We are individually responsible for the fruit we bear. Luke 6:44-45 says this. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known for its fruit. For men don't gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. Now let me tell you something. As we stay connected, we are destined to be fruit bearers. We can't be anything else. We can't be anything else. We're destined to be fruit bearers. It is who we are in Christ as we keep drawing from Him. On the other hand, a bad tree, one who thinks of itself every day, one who is self-sufficient, can't bear good fruit. It may bear some sort of fruit, but it is sour. It's just not, doesn't taste right. It's pitted and it's self-serving. You ever been around those people that do things for you because they want something back? Yeah. That's a bad tree bearing fruit that's not going to taste very good because it requires something from us. God's love is unconditional. That's what I love about scripture, knowing about our God. God's love is unconditional. So he doesn't require anything from us but to believe on him and accept him as our Savior. We need to live that same life, that we draw from him so that we can unconditionally love people. Is that easy? No, it isn't. But the more we draw upon him, the more we can do that and bear good fruit. Also, isn't it great that here it tells us that God hasn't made us all alike because each tree is known by its fruit. Isn't that great? You don't all have the same gifts to give others because God wants us to bear different fruit. Doesn't mean that we don't have kindness, goodness, love and joy and peace. It's just that there are certain fruits that come from us that are different than others. Some, you know, some trees produce pears, apples, plums, pineapples, bananas. And likewise, the fruit that we bear could be generosity, kindness, empathy, caring, hope, hospitality, compassion, patience, all wrapped in love. We're all individually responsible to bear fruit, and we all have been given different gifts to bear these fruits to minister to others. For example, how many here think they have the gift of hospitality? I know there are a few. Okay. Thank you. Or there might be other gifts. How many here have the gift of patience to forbear with others? How many here has a gift of patience? Okay. We got two, and your patience will be tried. But do you see what I mean? You see what I'm getting at? God gives us all these fruit, but, you know, we all have our individual fruit that we bear for him, and it's important to know that. Number three. Not bearing fruit renders us useless to God and his purposes. Does that startle you? Does that make you say, woo? He wants us to bear fruit. Mark 21, 18, 19 said this. Now in the morning when he returned to the city, he became hungry. This is Jesus. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Makes you want to bear fruit real quick, doesn't it? He's really talking also about the Pharisees. At this time, the Pharisees kept on attacking him and attacking him and attacking him. They were good to look at. They were obedient to the law. They taught religion or legalism to the masses. And yet they had not bared any fruit. They had not shown love to the people that they ministered over. They did not show compassion. They did not show anything. They just looked good on the outside. And so it was with a fig tree Jesus encountered. You know, he said he saw a fig tree with leaves on it. Normally, when a fig tree has leaves, leaves also come with figs. Very seldom would you ever see a fig tree have leaves without figs on it. So its purpose, its function, was to have figs on it when the leaves came out. When the leaves came out. So it didn't bear any fruit. And when Jesus was hungry, it didn't provide for him the needs that he had. And that's the same with us. If we get complacent, we back off, we follow another God. We don't bear fruit. When people are hungry, they'll run to us because we look pretty on the outside, but inside we might be pretty rotten, pretty pitted. Ryrie says this, the curse on the tree was illustrative of the rejection of Israel, a nation unfruitful despite every advantage. Despite every advantage. The Pharisees were pretty on the outside, but had dark hearts on the inside. And this dark heart prevented them from even recognizing who Jesus was. They didn't recognize who he was. And prevented them from producing fruit to feed the people. They were not fulfilling God's purpose for their lives when even in the beginning of Genesis, God created Adam and Eve and he said to them, be fruitful and be fruitful. He was saying that both in the spiritual, both in the physical and in the spiritual. He wants us to be creative. He wants us to produce things. He also wants us to reproduce who he is. Reproduce who he is. You still with me? Make sense? Okay. I feel sad about Christianity today because we too in this nation have every advantage to become fruitful when the harvest comes. And even Christian churches are backing off that. Being fruitful. Providing something different to people who are hurting, who are crying out, who just need hugged. Who just need hugged. Here's a cute story told by Chris Jordan. I once read of a little boy who used to escape his bedroom after being punished. He would crawl out of his bedroom window down an old fruit tree to the ground. One day his father told him that he was going to chop down the fruit tree because it hadn't borne any fruit for a number of years. That evening, the boy and his friend bought a bushel of apples and during the night tied those apples on the barren branches. The next morning, the man could not believe his eyes. He said to his wife, honey, I can't believe it. That old tree hasn't yielded any fruit for years, and now it's covered with apples. And the most amazing thing is that it's a pear tree. Point number four. Bearing fruit identifies us apart from others. Matthew 7:16 says this. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Thistles. You know what? We don't need to advertise this church. We don't need banners. We don't need ads. We don't need arrows pointing to our church because they will know us. They will know us by the fruit that we bear. That will be what separates us from every other church. Jacob, did you want to help me here? So we grow because we bear fruit. Why don't you pass those out? See who wants it. Anybody here want fruit? Help Jacob out here. Okay. Why don't you just... Come on, somebody help Jacob. I'm sure somebody likes fruit. There's plums. There goes a plum. There's peaches. There's grapes. Caleb's going to be eating a lot today. Robbie wants something here. Gilligan wants something there. Give Ernie something. Ernie, you have two. What we got left? A pear? Somebody loves pears. I know they do. Huh? The green hard ones that I like. Okay. Thanks, Jacob. Thank you so much. Those of you that have fruits, are you anxious to eat your fruit? Yeah. You see, that's what we're to do as a church. We're supposed to be people that are set apart. People that can love in a world that needs lots of love. People that we can show goodness to that have never seen goodness. People that just want a kind word because no one's been kind to them. People that we can have patience with because the world won't listen to them. People that can stay going after somebody day after day after day because we're concerned about their heart issue. We're concerned about their destiny. We're concerned whether they want Christ in their lives or not. We can show that. We don't even have to tell them we're from Grace Christian Fellowship because they will know us from our fruit. Let me tell you this story. A lame boy was once hurrying to catch a train. In the press of the crowd, he experienced real difficulty in manipulating his crutches, especially as he was carrying a basket full of fruit and candy. As the passengers rushed along, one hit the basket by mistake, knocking oranges, apples, and candy bars in all directions. The man who caused the accident paused only long enough to scold the cripple for getting in his way. Another gentleman, seeing the boy's distress, went to his aid. Quickly, he picked up the fruit and added a silver dollar to the collection, saying, "I'm sorry, son. I hope this makes up a little." With a smile, he was on his way. The young boy, who had seldom been the recipient of such kindness, called after the Good Samaritan in gratitude and awe. "Mister, please, sir, are you Jesus?" "No," replied his newfound friend. "I'm only one of his followers." So too, the people whose lives we touch need to see the Lord in our acts of compassion and Christian kindness. That was from the Daily Bread. In closing, God wants us to be fruit bearers because he wants us to reproduce him. And when we reproduce him, we start a seed. We start a seed. That seed, in turn, reproduces him again, which reproduces fruit, which reproduces seeds, which reproduces him again. And that is what he wants us. And there's a promise. There's a promise. If we are faithful, it can be generational. Think about that. Our fruit bearing can be generational. Genesis 35:11 says this. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants." And here's a prime example of this promise of a generation, of virtually more generations of fruit bearers. Here's a story of two men. One of them, Max Jukes, lived in New York. He did not believe in Christ or give Christian training to his children. He refused to take his children to church, even when they asked to attend. He had 1,026 descendants, 300 of whom were sent to prison for an average term of 13 years. Some 190 were public prostitutes, and 680 were admitted alcoholics. His family members cost the state in excess of $420,000 thus far, and they have made no known positive contributions to society. Jonathan Edwards lived in the same state and at the same time. He loved the Lord and saw that his children were in church every weekend. He served the Lord to the best of his ability. Of his 929 descendants, 430 were ministers, 86 became university professors, 13 became university presidents, 75 wrote positive books, 7 were elected to the U.S. Congress, and 1 served as vice president of the United States. His family never cost the state 1 cent, but contributed immeasurably to the common good. only saying that because having a relationship with Christ and bearing good fruit is generational. As we pour in our love for Christ for our kids, they will do what we do, and they will say what we say. And they will be productive, and they will be fruitful, and they will multiply. That's the importance of this sermon to us, because it creates the next generation. It plants seeds for the next generation. We need to ask ourselves some questions. And that is, if your family tree began with you, what fruit might it bear 200 years from now? Let me say that again. If your family tree began with you, which it can, put all those things behind us. If our family tree began with us, what fruit might it bear 200 years from now? What fruit are you bearing now? Do you offer people hope? Do you give them compassion, kindness, love? Can you produce patience, long-suffering, joy, and peace? Will you carry the sweet aroma of Christ with you everywhere you go? Will people be drawn to you? Will you offer a tasteful fruit so that all will want to pick from you? Or will you just look like a pretty tree with nothing on your branches? Will you bear rotten fruit that is inedible and rancid? I can't overstate this. We do have a purpose in life that is to glorify God is number one. And that is, number two, is be fruitful. To bear fruit and grow by being vitally connected to Him. If we're vitally connected to Him, we can't be anything else but fruitful. So I'm asking all of you, what will you do with Christ? Knowing that your fruit bearing is generational. If the fruit you bear plants seeds for the future, what will the new plants look like? What will the new plants look like? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we come to you in recognition that we're not vitally connected to you as we ought 24/7. Help us to do that. Help us to study you. Help us to study your word. Help us, Lord, know that as we get connected to you, everything that we can say and do can produce good results. Help us, Lord, to become like a fresh fruit that draws people in. Help us, Lord, to know that it's not religion that draws people. It's being more like you. So with that, Lord, we ask that you continue to work in our lives. Continue to help us, Lord, to reach out to those who are lost and dying. If there's anybody here that has never heard the gospel message, the message that Jesus Christ came, was sent by God and came on earth just to die on the cross to give us forgiveness. That's the type of God we have. If there's anybody here that didn't know that Christ offered us redemption through the cross, that all we have to do is believe on Him and He gives us eternal life, that we can live forever in fruitfulness with Him. Maybe you need to think today whether today is your day of salvation. Salvation is no more than accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's saying this prayer, "Dear Lord, I repent of my sins. I want to be used by you. I want my life changed. And I want others' lives changed by how you've worked in my life. And Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I make that commitment to you so that I may be a fruit bearer for you, and not only for that, for my children and their children and their children." If anybody has ever prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd like to know. I'd like to know whether you've received Christ today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, those that have said that prayer, I would like to pray for you. I just ask you to put your arm up and right back down. Put your arm up and right back down. Dear Lord, the fields are ripe for harvest. Help us, Lord, to be everything that you need us to be so that we may reap that field and bring more people into the kingdom. Help us, Lord, to have that great fruit of the Spirit that I haven't talked about yet, and that is joy. Help us, Lord, to get excited about what you can do through us and how you can use us for your kingdom. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.